This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from the San Luis Obispo Airport. We're here with Kevin Buhman, who's the director of San Luis Obispo County Regional Airport.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon.
It was a little over a year ago the last time we got together, and that was on the ribbon cutting for the opening of this new airport.
It's been just over a year. It's been a really amazing year. We added a second Denver flight, and we even had a third one on occasional weekends over the summer. Nonstop service to Dallas starting April 2nd on American Airlines.
That's so cool. And that's a daily service.
It'll be daily service, year-round service. The Phoenix service will remain at its current levels. So we're going to have five flights a day on American Airlines.
Well, over the last year, not only did you open this airport, but it's skyrocketed. I read a press release not long ago that San Luis Obispo Regional Airport is the seventh fastest growing airport in North America. Is that true?
Airports Council International does an annual ranking, and we were seventh fastest in North America and fifth fastest in the United States this year, just based on year-over-year percentage growth. That's substantial in any business, but when you're in the business of moving people safely on aircraft, it presents a unique set of challenges. Our new terminal has made that process much more seamless for the passenger. It certainly helped with efficiencies and safety aspects of our operation. We really could not have done the things we've done in this last year with the growth, both in the number of flights and the type of aircraft, without the facility we have today. So 2018 was remarkable in many ways.
For me, the biggest game shift has been getting through security. And I've flown 50 flights out of here in the last year, and it's been seamless.
Yeah, the security experience has changed dramatically. Anyone who traveled through the old terminal remembered that was one of the key pain points in that building. And we have been fortunate here to not only have additional space for security, but TSA, in looking at both our current and projected passenger volumes, has added a second screening lane that they use during peak periods during the day. That gives us redundant equipment if there's an equipment failure. It brings all sorts of benefits to sustain the operation. And so of the things I do hear from travelers is that the security experience is frequently very good.
I'm impressed. Do you know what the average wait time is to get through the gauntlet?
5 minutes or less typically. During some of the morning peaks and the midday peaks, it may get out to 10 to 12 minutes, but our average wait time throughout the day is less than 5 minutes, which really speaks to, you know, the value this airport has to the traveler. We're all about convenience. We're right here in town. We're not 3 or 4 hours or more away. We're the hometown airport, and we want to be that convenient experience.
One thing, this is an aside, but it still remains fascinating to me. I talked to you a year ago about, hey, why not bring in 737s and larger aircraft? And you talk to me and explain how that backfires for the local. As inbound passengers, you know, it's better, but for us, there are fewer lifts going out of here.
So typically, as we saw here when the airlines transitioned from the turboprops to the regional jets, there is a reduction in frequency because they're measuring the service based on seats in the market.
Number of bodies.
It's all about seats. And flight frequency, while convenient to the passenger, isn't always the best solution for the airline, because when they're flying to the hub, they have to have a gate for that aircraft. They have to have a slot within the air traffic system. And so there is an efficiency to operating larger aircraft.
So bottom line is, if they bring in a large 737, they get everybody out of here on one aircraft.
Potentially, yeah. In our market, right-sizing right now, the regional jets are working very well, and we're growing on frequency. We have seen the CRJ-200s, the small 200s, being phased out for the 7s and the 9s and the E-175s, and so all of our aircraft gauges continue to grow, and we're sustaining the frequencies and even adding them. So our market is very healthy right now. You know, we're adding markets, and we're not seeing the other markets suffer. You know, our community has been underserved for many, many years, and we're in the wonderful position now of seeing that service start to really match what customers, both here in the market as well as customers, you know, throughout the United States and for that matter around the world, want to see to access the Central Coast and San Luis Obispo.
Used to be, I had to fly to Phoenix to then hub on to the Midwest or Wisconsin or whatever. And now you have your direct United to Denver, which is a game changer for me personally.
You know, the eastbound service here for many years was challenging because the first segments were often short or not necessarily directional to the east. And we've seen that change with the addition of more eastbound hubs and more capacity on those flights. If somebody's not flying in the western U.S. or on a more north-south route, there are other routing options to get east. And the traveler really has some options here today that even going back just a couple years ago didn't exist.
What I also find interesting is the disconnect. I thought naively that the increase in airports served had to do with the local community, but you pointed out to me a long time ago that a lot of it has to do with the other end. It has to do with Denver people wanting to come here, or Portland people, or Seattle.
Certainly, yeah.
So explain that, because it's not what you would think.
For years, the strategy here was built around, as many airports, in marketing your community and the need and the demand and how you'll make that flight work with what you can measure and understand, which is within your local region. But the bigger piece of the puzzle is you know, the Central Coast region of California, as measured by population, is still very small compared to other parts of the United States. And as we talk about the Dallas-Fort Worth metro area, it's like 7 million people just in the metro, let alone beyond where people may connect in there.
Bottom line, we as locals benefit because of Denver and that population base.
Well, that or places beyond and people that can access the Central Coast through Denver. But the other really fundamental shift in what we've seen to help generate new air service is that with our partnership with Visit SloCal, the ability to engage an airline and propose the marketing package that's going to happen in those places, in Seattle, in Denver, in Dallas, to activate that market, share with people things about SloCal, and create the desire to travel here for somebody that maybe has once upon a time been here or never been here, and essentially market the destination has been a real game changer. It causes the airlines to reconsider often, take another look, and they see that the investment that's being made by an organization that can do things the airport can't. The airport, by federal rules, is not able to do that kind of marketing. We cannot market a destination.
Interesting.
We can market an airline, we can market our brand and our facility, but we can't market a tourism aspect of this. So we have clear rules we have to follow, but in partnerships with our community groups, we can create a bigger package for the airlines. And in a place like Dallas, that's critical to the success of both the startup of that flight and then even sustaining it.
So you, Kevin, as director of the county airport, you spend a certain amount of your time firefighting in the here and now in dealing with today. But you also spend X amount of your time, which I know would be considerable, future planning, looking forward.
Sure. The living in the here and now versus that future certainly puts unique demands on your time. Growing in the present presents a very real set of challenges that you cannot set aside because if left unmanaged, they will create even bigger problems tomorrow. But we're boldly looking at that future with things.
What do you see?
Well, we see more service. We see markets today where people are accessing via other routing that could support nonstop flying.
So, give us a theoretical example.
Well, you know, some of the obvious ones that we've talked about in other venues is places like Portland or San Diego or Salt Lake City. I mean, once upon a time we're a market. You know, Sacramento was once a market.
Could Sacramento come back?
Anything's possible. I can't say anything is imminent. Obviously, today we've had a big announcement, but we continue to look at those, evaluate them, talk with the airlines, and if there's an opportunity, go after it. That view of the future also includes our facility, and folks that are traveling out of here are noting our parking is full to oftentimes at full, and so we are planning for that expansion.
So you're planning for an airport parking structure, right?
That's one alternative. We have not made a final decision. We'll be working with the Board of Supervisors in the coming year to really look at what the total parking expansion program should look like.
But wouldn't that be the most efficient use of space?
Yes, it's also one of the more expensive options. So we will be looking at some surface parking expansion, a garage alternative in there. It's going to be a set of alternatives, but I'm confident we'll find the right way forward. But the one thing is clear is that we're going to need more parking in the foreseeable future. I know the city has wrestled with this issue, and parking is a tricky subject in some ways, depending on what view of the future you want to imagine with what happens with the way we move around in cars. But the thing that is clear is in the foreseeable future here, we need more of it. And so we'll be considering the ambiguity of those transitions in transportation in the future, as well as what our current foreseen needs are.
a drive-by out on the highway, oftentimes it looks like you're close to max right now.
There have been days. The exciting thing about this is the happy problems that airports can have. You know, growing while challenging sure beats shrinking. And there are many markets in the U.S. that are stagnant and even declining because the business case for the airlines just doesn't work in those markets anymore. Given the size of the aircraft, the economic dynamics in the market, those communities are either stagnant in their air service or they're slowly being cut off from the system as the airlines are removing service. We're on exactly the opposite side of that, and our community is so fortunate to have that.
Is there a simple, concise explanation for that?
There's not. We are at a combination of things in a healthy business cycle with an airline industry that is really transformed through mergers and acquisitions, and airlines are now investment-grade entities for the most part, at least the bigger ones are, and so you have airlines that are being operated with different fundamentals. Smaller markets present value if they are positioned well. We have a very balanced mix of both inbound and outbound travel, tourism, business-based travel. We have a community that is geographically relatively isolated. We don't have a nearby airport extremely close to us that is drawing traffic away, albeit people drive away from here. I know that, and people have their own reasons for doing that. But as we continue to evolve, the opportunities we offer for local travelers arriving and departing get better and better.
Before we go, revenue stream generating income, what are the primary sources on a day-to-day basis?
Parking is a huge piece of our revenue. The airport is an enterprise division of government, so we operate on a revenue and expense basis from revenue generated on the airport. And so we have lease agreements, we have contracts through concessionaires, we have rates and charges for users. So we are always looking at revenue both on the airport and beyond, and managing our expenses in a way that is very akin to a business. We have to keep our expenses in check with our revenue because the business model of airports is that they are self-supporting entities, and this airport is doing a good job at that. You know, post-recession, that was challenging, but it was able to maintain itself, and we have far surpassed any point this airport ever existed in from a commercial aviation standpoint prior to the recession.
Looking forward, do you see a restaurant within the structure? Do you see a retail business?
We don't have anything planned imminently. You know, as we continue to grow in traffic, those options become more realistic for a vendor. I can tell you that our post-security concessions has been successful on many levels. Our customers enjoy it. It's the first time we've ever had post-security concessions. So could there be more in the future? Never say never, but it's not on the near horizon.
Kevin's biggest challenge?
Wow. You know, I think the biggest challenge here is that there's so many opportunities. I had somebody ask me this the other day, and it's, you know, we're a relatively small staff. We're in a fast-moving business climate in a very operationally focused organization, and there's a ton of opportunities out there. And the biggest challenge is really trying to focus on the ones that matter, the ones that have that real potential upside, and not getting mired down in things that don't ultimately benefit the traveling public. That is what we exist for here, is to provide a safe and efficient experience for whether it's travelers on the airlines or folks utilizing general aviation aircraft. That safety and efficiency we can't lose focus on. And aviation has evolved significantly in the last 5 to 10 years. So we have to be smart about where we put our efforts.
And one more before we go. TSA PreCheck. It used to be, you know, I had to tell people, well, when you're in San Francisco or you're in Chicago or whatever, go to the TSA office. You can do that here now at the airport periodically, correct?
Yeah, TSA PreCheck now has a vendor that brings in a mobile unit, and they were here a few times last year. They're going to be here again in January. I don't have the dates on the top of my head, but they come out into the community every several months, and you can make an appointment online and enroll in PreCheck locally and not have to go to a larger airport and do your enrollment process. At our airport, that gets you what is called expedited screening. They merge the pre-check in with the typical screened passengers, but it allows you some efficiencies. Where it really matters, though, is at the hub when you're returning home. That pre-check benefit.
Oh, San Francisco or Chicago?
Is very nice.
Oh.
Absolutely.
You might miss your flight without it.
It's a definite equalizer in at least having some predictability of what your security experience is going to be like.
For further information, Kevin.
Check out our website at slowairport.com. My name is Kevin Buman, Director of Airports for San Luis Obispo County.
Thank you. And I'm Tom Wilmer. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the Society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org. Once again, svdpusa.org. And whether you're shopping for new or used items, donating them, or volunteering, you're helping the Society of St. Vincent de Paul help others.